Cyril Ramaphosa's tabling of the economic recovery plan without much in the way of detail. Some of that will be added in the medium-term budget expenditure framework, which Tito Mboweni will be giving us in just over 10 days' time. But one of the four legs of economic recovery is improving electricity supply and improving it quickly. Well, that's a promise. It's a promise we've heard before. Professor Anton Eberhardt is with us now, energy expert, emeritus professor and director of the Power Future Lab at UCT GSB. Anton, any more optimistic after yesterday's promises around energy than previously?
Well, good afternoon, John. Certainly some positives, but I think also some negatives. So the positive, as you say, this has been elevated to one of the four priorities of the president's reconstruction and recovery plan. Makes sense, obviously. We need an adequate and reliable power supply if we're going to power a post-COVID recovery. And broadly, they've focused on the right areas, right? They've said, let's accelerate the implementation of the least cost RP electricity plan. Let's get those procurements going. They said, let's try and ease the situation for self-generation. And they've spoken about getting the Eskom restructuring done, getting an ITSMO, an independent transmission system market operator out that would enable competition. But there are, I'm afraid, a number of negatives as well.
Enumerate them for us, please, Anton.
Yeah, so real issues of errors around dates, which I think would come to really haunt the president, and then issues of detail. So the issues of date, I mean, the president said that we would get 2,000 megawatts on the grid by the middle of next year. That's this emergency risk mitigation IPP program, which is running at the moment. There's no possibility of that. I mean, the bidders are preparing their proposals. That takes two months. Takes another 2 months to assess and award them. Takes another 6 to 12 months to sign all the contracts and get the financing. And then for solar, you know, big solar farms, it takes 12 to 18 months to build them. Wind farms, 12 to 24 months. Gas, even longer. So those dates, I hope he corrects them. But the issue also around detail, and I think this is really important, because unless you spell out what you're going to do, the ministers and the departments in government don't do them, right? So the issue of self-generation is exactly that. So he says we'll speed it and we'll make it easier, and then our energy minister says, well, he's doing it. But actually, when you speak to people in the industry, none of that gets done. And I can give you some examples, if you like, around those frustrations.
Just give us one to illustrate.
Yeah. So let's take a really large tech company, big international, amongst the top four largest tech companies in the world. It has three data centers in Cape Town. A very significant investment, very large power requirements of about 40 megawatts. Their CEO has said, you've got to go 100% renewables by 2025, right? But huge issues to make that happen. So, I mean, ideally, they should be able to sign up a solar farm in the Karoo, a wind farm on the south coast, right to the west coast, a battery provider, and then wheel that electricity across the grid. But huge regulatory barriers for that to happen at the moment.
And no real sign, despite what the president promised yesterday, that, or maybe there is a flickering bit of light, a little flickering bit of light, that a greater urgency might keep in, you know. Self-generation, it's still pegged at 1 megawatt, whereas it needs to be, as you and countless others have said, it needs to be that you can do it without going through these regulatory hoops up to 10 megawatts. But all of this is in the hands of a particular ministry, which doesn't seem to be as urgently focused.
So there's another issue of detail, right? So self-generation. So if you know... if the president goes to his energy minister, Gwede Mantashe, and says, sort out the self-generation issue, he says, fine, it's permitted. But what he omits to say is he's defined the regulations such that, yeah, you can do your self-generation, but you've got to be completely off-grid. So most mines, big companies, et cetera, are saying, look, we want to invest in solar PV. It's much cheaper than Eskom. But we want to remain grid-tied, right? So we want a backup, or we want even to feed back into the grid. That's not permitted at the moment, or you've got to get a license. And the issue of going through NERSA at the moment is a huge bureaucratic nightmare. They've issued a total of 5 new generation licenses since 2016, totaling only 28 megawatts. We've got to get 27,000 megawatts on the grid by 2030. Those are the issues, you know, so be bolder. Give the exemptions for licenses for self-generation, even if you're grid-connected. If you want to feed back into the grid, lift that license exemption to 10 or 20 or maybe even 50 megawatts. In other words, the state needs to step back so that consumers can start investing in their own solutions here.
At the same time, or roughly the same time, I presume before, André de Ruyter, the head of Eskom, was speaking at a webinar, and he was saying that Eskom does need to fund expansion of the national grid to accommodate this new power generation. So the operational head, the executive head of the power monopoly, is prepared to try and find money to expand the grid so that these new power generators can connect to the grid. So it's not as if there's now a deep resistance from within Eskom to this.
Yeah, I was on that webinar, and it's really interesting what's happening in Eskom at the moment. I mean, the first thing that is being recognized, and this is completely new, it's never been acknowledged by any senior executive in Eskom before, is that they need additional private investment to come into the grid, right? So there's a recognition that given the stress on their own balance sheet and the debt levels that they have, they can't raise new finance for new generation. So if we want to keep the lights on going forward, we really need to facilitate a private investment coming in. And part of that is getting the grid positioned. So, you know, our grid was designed basically to connect coal power up in Mpumalanga and distribute it to the country. But where the cheapest resources are now on the Northern Cape or the West Coast or the Southern Cape, and there's a huge investment, 100 billion rand over the next 10 years that needs to go into restructuring and repositioning our grid. And part of that is restructuring the industry, right? So creating a separate grid company that is not encumbered by Eskom's debt and can go back to capital markets, go back to investment grade and raise low-cost finance to make that happen. And it's really encouraging to see the Eskom leadership acknowledging that.
Professor Anton Eberhard, thanks as always for your expertise. Emeritus Professor, Director of the Power Future Lab at the Graduate School of Business based at the University of Cape Town.